Hallelujah. In John chapter 4, Jesus told the woman at the well that the Lord, the Father, is looking for those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. And that's us. That's us. God is calling us to a lifestyle of personal worship, personal encounter with the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. The end of the book of Psalms 23, the prayer of David says, "Your goodness and your mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." Amen. Your goodness, your kindness, and your mercy will follow me all the days of my life. I just want you to agree with somebody sitting close to you and pray that prayer. Your kindness, your goodness will follow me. You pray for that all the days of my life. Pray that prayer. Your goodness, pray for the person close to you. Your goodness, your mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Your goodness, your kindness will follow me all the days of my life. Pray for the person. Pray for that person. We follow you all the days of your life. Your goodness, Father, your kindness, your mercy will follow us all the days of our life. All the days, not some days, all the days. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Your goodness, your kindness will follow me, will follow us. All the days of our life. All the days of our life. All the days of our life. Your mercies, your goodness, your kindness. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lamb of God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, continue to teach us to worship you. There is nothing we can do for you but to wait in your presence in worship. Give us the grace to worship you with all our heart, all our strength, all our mind, all our soul, and all that is within us. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Amen. How many of you remember last Sunday? This thing is sounding a little bit to my ears. Can you reduce this? Amen. How many of you remember last Sunday what you heard from the Lord? On focus. Focus. How many of you? I will start from here. What does F mean? I'll pass you. No. What does F mean? What does F mean? Fear of God. Amen. Okay. What does O mean here? Oh, it's for this group here. What does O mean? Ordained. Amen. That brings obedience. Amen. Okay, what does C mean for this group? C. F means fear of God. Good. Amen. Okay. Then the last one is S. U. Okay, what does U mean for this group? Under authority. Amen. And everybody, what does S mean? Success. Wow. Doctor, we have to go back to school. Amen. Because focus is supposed to be simple. Amen? Okay, let's start again. We spent a whole hour going through it. So, I will ask somebody from this group, what does the fear of God mean? Huh? Yes, anybody can answer from this group. Loving God, okay. Honoring God, okay. From what we shared last time, what does the fear of God mean? Abiding by His word, okay. Reverencing God, okay. All right, let me come to this group. Oh, ordained of God. What does it mean? What does it mean to be ordained of God? Okay, good. From this prophet, from the scripture in Jeremiah 1, okay. What? Living with ordained purpose, okay? What else does it mean? Okay, what God has prepared for those that are ordained of Him. Amen. Okay, what's the next spelling? C. What does courage mean from our sharing last time? Stepping out in faith, okay? That's from Joshua 1. What does courage mean? Overcoming discouragement. Dealing with discouragement, okay? What does courage mean? Courage to be obedient. Amen. Okay, one more.
Well, sometimes we go against the grain.
You need courage. Amen. Okay. Then the next one is under authority. That's under, that's it, courage. Under authority.
Obey.
Huh? Obey. Obey, okay? Obey authority, okay? What does it mean to be under authority?
Obey the word of God.
Obey the word of God, okay? What does it mean to be under authority from last Sunday?
Crucify.
This is for this group here. Okay, what does it mean to be under authority? Huh? Anybody else? Honor, authority. Okay, amen. All right, the last one is what?
Success.
So I'm going to ask one from each group. From your group, what does success mean from what we shared last time?
Being a solution.
What does success does not mean? Okay, caring for people and not focusing on people. Amen? Okay, what does success mean to you from last Sunday? Solving problems. What else? Success. Solving problems. Okay. What does success mean for this group?
Making progress.
Making progress. Okay, what else?
Overcoming fear,
being courageous. And what?
Obedient.
Okay, what else? Huh? Success. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Paul was writing to the church in Berea. He says, the saints in Berea, they are wiser than all the saints because they went home to study whether the things that were taught by the apostles were true. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, this was what we studied last Sunday, not last month. not last 2 months. Amen? Amen. So pay attention to what we share today, because next Sunday, you know, somebody takes a week to pray and wait on the Lord, and we have to be able to digest it. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
I want to ask one question. The purpose of focus that God gave to Joshua, what was the purpose? Why did he need it to be focused? Who wants to answer that? Why, from what we shared, why did Joshua need to be focused? Yes, ma'am.
Because there's going to be lots of discouraging situations.
Okay. Okay, very good. He needed to be focused. And we now saw what? Yes.
Not to be distracted.
Not to be distracted. Very good.
To have good success.
To have good success. Okay. Amen. God had a purpose, had a plan, and they need to get to that place. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
The reason I asked that question, I was, you all answered it, but somebody specifically mentioned the subject for this morning. The reason for focus is distraction. You cannot be in between. It's either you are focused or you're distracted. The plan of God for Israel was to take them from point A to point B. To bring them out of bondage, out of everything, and to bring them to the promise. Amen? It doesn't matter what it is from what we studied last week, whether it's healing, whether it's financial breakthrough, whether it's school, whether it's job, just put yourself, whether it's marriage, whatever it is, God has a plan and a purpose for why he ordained it. He established it. So we're not going back to that whole thing about focus. But God has a purpose. And we all have to have a purpose for everything. Amen? From point A, we have to have a purpose to point B. Point B is the expectation of God. Point B is what brings us to well done, good and faithful servant. Amen?
Amen?
So, let's start with this. So, if point A brings us to point B, and in point B we say we achieved success, we made it, we established the purpose for which we left here to come here. I want to ask you a question. What will you define from point A to point B when you leave your house and come to church? What is your purpose? And when you leave church through the week, did you achieve the reason you came today? Because if we don't understand why we leave everything and go through this and come here, it becomes tradition and religion. We have to have a purpose, reason for coming to this place and for being here this morning. It's not to fulfill all righteousness. There is a purpose why God says the church, the family of God, has to come together. And a lot was said about it all through Ephesians. Paul taught the church clearly why we need to be together. Amen? So many reasons. But then when we come together each time, do we achieve the purpose? Amen? For being here this morning. So let me ask, I'll ask here and here and here. So what would you say is one thing that you can say? If I don't hear a quick answer, I will ask somebody by name. No, I won't ask you by name. What will you say it will be? We all can We're learning together. What will you say it will be one reason why you come to church? And when you leave, will that thing be achieved? Will there be something you say, I got to point B? Let me ask this group. One person can say, what is one reason why you come to church in a setup like this? Anybody? To be refilled? You say, who said fellowship? I'm asking this group. Huh? For direction. Okay. For worship. Okay. All right. Okay. And most of you have been in church all your life, eh? So we need to, okay. All right. Doctor said fellowship, okay? Okay. Okay. Is that where your parents drag you out of bed? Okay. All right. Okay. All right. What is your purpose for coming to church? Fellowship. Okay. What else? Okay. All right. What is your purpose of coming to church?
Relationship.
Okay. Anybody else? Wait, let me, this group, to worship together, okay? Because you worship at home, so to worship with the family. Any other purpose? To hear a word from God. Amen? Anybody else?
About obedience,
you're obeying the word of God by coming, okay? All right? To sharpen one another. Amen? Okay? All right? Why do you come to church? Oh, okay. All right. Here, why do you call? Yes, ma'am.
To help die to self.
To help us die to self. Okay. Okay.
Building up
yourself and one another. Your faith. Okay. Yes.
To get a broader perspective of the word.
To get a broader perspective of the word. Amen. Anybody else in this group? Yes. Yes.
Oh, okay. To be very honest, I don't know where else I'll be on Sunday morning.
Amen. You don't know where else you'll be on Sunday morning. Yes. Because of what you benefit, because of, okay.
Yes, so it's everything they've all said.
Everything everybody has said. Ushers, why do you come to church? Amen. You wonder, why do you come to church? Cynthia, why do you come to church? Okay.
Together with brethren. And to set aside a time just to dedicate, which I do during the week as well.
To get together with brethren.
That's right, and to dedicate this day before the
Lord. Like a Sabbath before the Lord, to honor the Lord. Okay, Bomati, why do you come to church? What's your purpose?
Fellowship, be under authority, forsaken under brethren, and enter into, I know it starts at home, the intimacy with God, but we come together and encourage one another, iron sharpens iron.
Amen. Amen. Let's just clap for everybody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Who? Okay. All right, Luca, why do you come to church? Okay, to be in the presence of God, to honor God, because the Bible says where two or three are gathered, I'm there. Good. Pastor Victor?
The scripture says we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together.
Okay.
Okay.
Amen. Not to forsake the assembly of brethren. Okay. So. Yes. Okay. So, it says sometimes confirmation. You're needing confirmation based on the word of God for something. Amen.
Amen.
Let's thank God for you all again. Amen. 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 Okay. One more question. So, if you come to church here, point A, Pay attention, because you might, I might call names. Point A, point A. You leave point A and you come to point B, based on what all of you said now. Okay. I want to ask you a question. I'll begin from here. 365 days of the year. How many Sundays in a year? 50-something Sundays. Let's say you were able to attend at least 30 Sundays in a year. So 30 Sundays in a year, you experience a lot of the people, what people say now, from point A to point B. Huh? What will your life look like if you are achieving that point? If every Sunday you come, some of the things we mention here is the things we are going from point A to B, and it's happening. What level of maturity, what will the life of a believer look like if he's experiencing that? Let me start from here. You're making success? Spiritual success? Okay. You know, building character? Okay. Your character will be built. Okay, what else?
Spiritual maturity.
So you expect a believer after 30 Sundays in a year to have some level of maturity. Okay? This group?
Change.
Very good. Okay, anybody else? After 30 Sundays, I'm not talking about 53 Sundays in a year. At least 30 Sundays in a year. What do you expect? Huh? Mature in the Word of God, okay? All right? Yes. Huh? Your love for Christ will increase closer to God, okay? Yes.
The Bible said through the book of Hosea, people perish because not of knowledge.
Uh-huh.
So how we can not perish but success? We got to have, first of all, have to know about knowledge of God.
Good.
Because that's where we come from.
Uh-huh. Okay. Amen. Okay, somebody's raising their hand behind there. Were you raising your hand, Annie? Okay. All right, Bumati.
What comes to me is from point A to point B is...
For 30 Sundays at least.
30 Sundays, multiplication and a great commission.
Multiplication and great commission. Okay. All right.
The ability to cope with being out in the world.
You're able to cope with being out in the world. Okay, very good. Yes, Josephine.
You have to be full of love.
You have to. After 30 Sundays, in 1 year. Okay. Okay.
How about confirmation?
Confirmation. Full of love. Okay. Okay. Amen. Now, every Sunday, there is an impact. Expectation from point A to point B. And that happens at least 30 Sundays of the 50-something Sundays. And what you're saying is, some of the things you're mentioning should be the occurrence in our lives. So, full of love, mature. Amen? Now, the next question I want to ask you is this, and I'll start from this group. Change. What kind of changes, if we come out of the world, if we come out of the world and we are being in church based on everything we are learning here, on training, discipleship, and all the things we're learning for at least 30 Sundays in 1 year, what kind of changes are you expected to see in a believer? Making different choices from your former choices. Okay? What kind of changes do you expect to see?
Love and kindness, compassion.
Love and kindness, compassion.
Well, the one lady said over there, you know, that the other one.
Why are you thinking about you?
Oh,
yeah. Amen. Okay, how about when we go through trials and temptations and difficulties, everything we shared now, how does that change our approach to those things?
Walk in life.
Your walk in life. Okay?
Fear.
Fear of God. Okay?
Yes. Change comes to know your identity.
You get to know your identity, who you are. Yes? The fruit of the Spirit will begin to manifest in your life. Yes, sir?
Integrity,
change, character. Okay? Yes. How does the change help you? Yes.
Way it would help me is realizing or remembering how God has helped me. And I'm going to be very practical here. I was in church, it was a Wednesday, right? Please give me one second. And I was having an excruciating pain.
Okay. You were having a pain in your side, okay?
I actually went to the hospital and they gave me an appointment for 3 or 5 days from there.
Yes.
I was like, am I going to die before my appointment, before I see the doctor?
Yes.
I was at home and my husband said, just leave. I will go to church and I will, I'll come. I said, no. If I'm not going to be in the hospital, I'm going to be in church. I'm
okay.
Going to be in the presence of God. So I came on that Wednesday. Mm-hmm.
Prayed for you.
And I tell you,
there was some relief.
The morning, the pain was completely gone.
Amen.
The hospital called me to confirm my appointment. I said, no, I'm not coming.
Yeah.
And from that time till now, I have not had the pain anymore.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Okay, all right. Yes, Samantha?
You have to have a different mindset.
A different mindset.
Because if that change up here, it won't change nowhere else.
Okay, very good. Yes? Amen. Amen. Yes. Amen.
If we're hearing the word of God and it brings up cause changes of our lifestyle from sin to be a saint, then we've not gotten it.
Amen. Thank you for sharing. Amen.
Amen.
Now, thank you all so much. This is unusual, isn't it?
Amen.
But this is what the church fellowship is. Amen. Let me say this before I say this. One of the things God has made Mount Zion to be is so that people don't feel sitting in the pew makes them different believers. God has not ordained anybody to be a pew person. This is just for us to fellowship, to flow, but sitting there does not exempt you from serving God, just like I'm doing in your areas, because we're all believers. Amen?
Amen.
Now, these questions I asked you, and these questions we shared, these different things we're sharing, let me tell you who asks you a better question, and it's very practical. It's trials. I asked the question, we all responded. But every week or every day or every month, like I do, you go through difficult times. Not everything, even when things are blessed. They are asking you that question. When you come from point A to point B every Sunday or anytime you read the word or you're praying. What you are achieving here is always asked through trials. What have you learned? What have you achieved? That's what the trials ask us every day. Am I full of love when somebody hurts me? Am I kind? Am I character-wise? It's not me asking you here. It's what is coming out of you when trials come. It's asking you the question. So 30 services of trainings in 1 year. And many of us have been in this for 5 years, 10 years. Amen. James chapter 1 says, you know, rejoice when we fall into different trials for the testing of our faith. Trials is a test of our faith. Is the real, when the policeman stops you on the road, the first thing they want to check is your ID. They want to find out, who are you? What's your record? Trials ask that question. Every trial we go through is asking you, who are you? Why do you go to church? What are you gaining from it? What are you receiving from it? The trial is saying, show me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 I intentionally didn't want to put Coca on the spot this morning. Amen. So, hallelujah. My brothers and sisters, we're family. We have to be real with our faith. I want to read a scripture that we mentioned last time about. Please open to Jeremiah chapter 1. I won't take long in this. I believe the Holy Spirit has already, what's happened here was the Holy Spirit. When you get home, you find out. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5 says, before I was formed, before I formed thee in the belly, in the womb, in your mother's womb, I knew you. And before thou came forth out of the womb, before you were born, I set you apart, I sanctified you. And I ordained you a prophet unto the nations.
Amen.
Then Joshua, let's open to the book of Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, I want you to see let's read verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest, do you see that? Observe. Observe to do according to all. To do according to all the Lord, the word of God, which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. He used the word turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest.
Amen.
That verse 7 basically is saying, for Joshua to take the people from here to hear the promise, put yourself in that position, is a project, it's a calling, it's a ministry, it's a job, whatever it is, in the season, because the coming season, God wants to take you from point A to B and then continue. Whatever it is, there is a distance between A and B. And in that distance, God is telling Joshua, you need courage, you need focus. We all know what focus is. In that distance is where either people make it there or they stop here. And the key God gave to Joshua, he says, focus means you cannot turn to the left, you can't turn to the right. Because it says Jesus was looking there for the joy that was before him, for the success, for the purpose to achieve B, he endured the cross. He endured the giants. He endured everything that comes between here and here to distract us. Amen? I'm telling you the truth. Jesus says not everybody that says, Lord, Lord, will make it if this is heaven. Something happens here that keeps people from getting there. And the word is distraction. We all, for those online, I couldn't ask you, but I know you're hearing. Because, you know, I just won't get response. Every one of us sitting in this room and everyone out there, God says, I knew you before you were born. Because before you became flesh and blood, he says, you were a spirit. And I knew you before I sent you to the world. The biggest distance between from when God knew you and you were born here, born in the flesh, to when you leave this world to go back to heaven, the biggest distraction is the world. Jesus says when we leave this world, when we come out of this world, every one of us will hear two things. Depart from me, I never knew you, or well done, good and faithful servants. And that is determined by what you do here. What is distraction? What is distraction? Many times, just to give you an example, I'm almost feeling like asking that question again, just but for time. I was going to ask you, but I will just share. How many of you will say, when you come to church from point A, and when you leave from point B, you were focused? Let me share with you briefly what distraction is. And I'll tell you why. The Lord is leading us this way. Because he says many are called, but few are chosen. Distraction Let me use an example. When God brought Adam and Eve to the garden and placed them here and wants to get them to that place, the devil came and he told them, has God said? Has God said you should not eat this, you should not do this, you should not do that? And then the devil convinced them that God was a liar. What does he mean by saying God is a liar? He didn't tell them directly God is a liar. He just told them God doesn't want you to enjoy life and enjoy yourself. He doesn't want you to be yourself. He just doesn't want you to be yourself because he knows if you're yourself, you're free to do what you want, when you want, how you want it. You don't have to obey his word. And there is no consequence for it. So Adam and Eve ate that lie. And you all know the story. In principle, they did not make it to point B. They had everything. Everything. They were over everything. They had power. They had resources. They had everything in the world. They own it. But they exchange a lie for truth. And it's called deception. The biggest distraction in the world has never changed. The biggest distraction in the world is always Satan's lies. But he does not call it lie. He calls it truth. Why is it truth to us, to the world? My brothers, I want you to pay attention, and this is not going to be long because I have something to share with you. Why do we exchange lie for truth? I'm speaking scriptures now. We believe lie and we call it truth. We take darkness, we call it light. Why? Because of deception. Before you can be deceived, you have to be distracted. He can never, never deceive you without distracting you. Distraction is taking your focus off Jesus, taking your focus off the Word of God, taking your focus off the purpose. And many times, the real things that distract us, to your surprise, and I've seen it, are not evil things. Amen. And they don't look evil. They are things we have idolized and possessed. I can only use the Bible. There was a man that prepared a feast. A feast. Big feast, and Jesus is talking about God now. Prepared a feast for his friends. And when he prepared a feast, he sent message to his friends. Say, come, come, come. The feast is ready. Everything is in place. Everything is ready. We are ready to celebrate. And he sent a message. And one of them said, my business is keeping me busy. I have cows to take care of. He blessed him with that. He says, I have these cows. I have all this stuff. I have this thing. I need to take care of this business. It's so important. And it was important. I can't come. Another one says, I just got married. He just gave him a wife. And the wife became his distraction. The husband became his distraction. So I can't, I just got married. Is it a bad thing to marry? No. Who gave you the wife? The man that is inviting you to a special wedding. I just got a wife. Or else my children.
He just gave you the children. Distraction. Then he says, you know what? My house will be full. Go out there and bring everyone you can find. And these, my friends, they can't come in. If you read the story of the virgins, the same thing, the wise virgins and the foolish. Why am I saying this? My brothers, I can share more with you, but every generation, the enemy uses distraction. And from that distraction, deception. And once we lose our focus, we begin to make excuses for the things of God. The things of God becomes there. And God says, no, I have to be first. Because he's a jealous God. When the things of God becomes mundane, becomes least important, you are heavily distracted. But you don't know it. The focus is no more Jesus. The focus is no more when you were in Egypt, you were in bondage, you were in witchcraft, you were lamenting God. And God says, my blood brings you, my mercy brings you. You were so desperate, and you come and say, thank you, Jesus. And suddenly God starts blessing you, God starts healing you, God starts doing things, and everything else becomes more important than he. Distraction. Without focus, we sink like Peter. So why am I sharing this? Let me quickly go to there. My brothers and sisters, it has happened in different times in history. And Paul says these things were written for our example. It happened, a few examples I want to give to you. The days of Noah. The days of Noah, the world has become so distracted that the consciousness of God was no more in their mind. The Bible says their mindset, their thinking, everything has emptied the presence and the position of God in the world. All they knew was themselves and what self wanted. And the devil took good advantage of them. And the Bible says, I want you to hear this. Only one family, through Noah, found grace. My brothers and sisters, there's only one truth. There is nothing in God that will make him lie to you. Because he's God. If you don't believe this word, you're already deceived. If you change one sentence in this word, you're already deceived. Because God cannot lie. If this is not your standard, you're already following man. No man will judge you. This is what we judge. Distraction in every generation is one thing. Get them away from the word. Get them away from the truth. Do what you can. Just don't let them study the truth. Just don't let them meditate on it. Just do what you can. Take their focus off Jesus.
Amen.
And I will take them where I want to go. If you read Psalms chapter 1, you read Joshua 1, the key is meditating on Jesus day and night. Day and night. Meditate. He said, without it, you will be judging people. Do you know why we judge people? Because we see ourselves. This is the only thing that can judge us. This is the only mirror heaven has given to us. Now, when that generation came, God put it in the Bible for a reason. My brothers and sisters, when is God's time to weigh a generation? It's not by numbers. It's by righteousness. Only 8 people. I don't know what the population is then. Only 8 people were weighed by this word and survived. You can follow majority. You can sing with majority. You can vote with majority. But when God's times come, hopefully you pass the test. Then another time came. It was the time of Joseph. Do you know what is happening? God gives men a lot of time to see if, when they leave this point to get to this point, if they will choose him or they will choose themselves. My brothers and sisters, let me be plain with you. Every temptation, every distraction is not about the world. It's us. It's what we choose. We can't blame it on anybody else. It's our choice. Choose you this day. So God watched the days of the devil has come again, distracted everybody, and the whole world has gone astray. And God has set a time that he will come and weigh that generation. And he told Joseph in a dream, say, Joseph, focus. Why? I'm giving you a vision. Your generation, you're going to experience the generation. I'm going to weigh them. I'm going to bring judgment. I'm going to weigh them in a balance. Why? Because I have to take away distraction, turn them back to me. It's God's mercy that he takes away distractions so that we can refocus. So the days of Joseph, you all know the story. Joseph had this vision when he was 17 years old and nothing happened. When he was about 30 years old, that's when it happened. How did it begin to happen? He was in prison. He was in jail. You all know the story. I can't go into it. His character has been tested. And now God brought him before Pharaoh of his time, the government that was in charge of that generation. And Pharaoh had a dream. You all know the story. The dream of 7 years and 7 years. 7 years of plenty and 7 years of lack. The 7 years of plenty was a warning. The people of that generation were so distracted, they did not understand the warning. What was given to them as a warning became what judged their self-focus. God said it was breaking news. Because Pharaoh had it. Joseph interpreted it. There will be 7 years of plenty. But the reason for the 7 years of plenty is because there will be 7 years of famine. So the purpose of the famine is so that everybody will turn back to God. How? Bring them back. Take away distraction. Bring them back to focus. So Joseph became a wise virgin. And he told Pharaoh, This is our moment to prepare. This is our time. The wise prepare in this for the summer, in the winter. Let's prepare. So what did the foolish do? What did the world do? What did the rest of the world do? The warning was everywhere. What did they do? They ate. They drank. They danced. They built. They celebrated instead of preparing. Only faith will make you prepare when there is plenty. So Joseph prepared. Amen? Fast forward really quickly. When Joseph's brothers came, Joseph said, this is just the second year of famine. And the world is already dry of food. The whole world. No rain, nothing. Dry. And Joseph said, the whole world was coming to Joseph now. Meaning they were coming to Christ, a type of Christ. No food. Joseph said, brothers, God sent me ahead to prepare. It's just 2 years. Go and read it. Genesis 45 from verse 8 down. It says, it's just 2 years. There is 5 years more coming. And right now there's no food. My brothers and sisters, distractions keep us from the fear of God. Because when God says something, we just take it for granted. Let's fast forward. You read about the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. And we saw what happened there. I can go on and on. But quickly, I want to tell you about Israel. God gave birth to Israel like a child. And said, Israel, I am bringing you here to me. And I'm giving you, I'll be your God. But I'll tell you one thing. If you leave me and come and be playing with the world, dancing with the world, doing the things of the world, I will give you up to the world until you repent. And God did it several times. Why? Because Israel went back to exactly the way the world living, self-conscious, self-everything, lived, prophets prophesied over and over and over and over. They refused to hear. And when God's time came to weigh them, it was bad. I think you get the message. Let me say why I'm saying this. For many years, especially from 1948, 45, God raised up America because of the covenant of what they made with Israel, 48. And America became, because there's no time for history right now, became literally a covenant nation with Israel and became the source through which God used to brought Israel back to their land, prophecy and so many things. And so because of that and so many other reasons, which I won't have time to share with you, I wrote something about it in the only book, God, the Watchman. God has a destiny for America. God raised up America. God blessed America. God made America the head of nations. God brought down every other nation. God prospered America. God gave America something no other nation dreams of. This is, in the physical world, a promised land. This is a special nation because of God. This is the only nation everybody can come and become somebody because of God. It's God's place. Amen. Two things. There's only one major reason I answered the call to serve God. He showed me America's future, and he showed me the future of the church. I said, God, the rest of my life, I give it to you. Use it however way you want to pray for America. I live today with one purpose for this nation and the church. I have, since I answered this call, I have not stepped my foot on my own country. I've gone to different places. I work with a lot of people in Nigeria. But God said, there's a price to pay to be an intercessor. So I can't go into details what is revealed. But America is destined to reveal the glory of God in these last days. Amen. But, like the wheat and the tares, the enemy also has planted evil in the nation. And out of this nation, a lot of things have been exported that is not pleasing to God in terms of perversion. So let me not go into details. Many of you have been here. I'm doing my best to establish understanding before I say what I need to say. Distraction. So for many years, God will bring up this, bring up this, bring up this. And that's why we pray. Every time we're interceding for America, we're calling for prayer for America. We always pray nationwide, worldwide, because that's the assignment. And so God revealed that he's going to shake the nation to remove distraction so the motion can come back to him, so that the glory of God can come, and so that the nations can harvest again. America was born with a purpose from here. And God wants America to deliver here. But right here, the enemy is fighting that purpose. And he has used distraction, deception, and lies to bring the nation to this place. And something is about to happen. So after many years of praying and receiving, it looks like it's taking forever. And many things have gone under the waters. At some point I say, God, I will never talk about this again. And I did for a while. But in 2020, and it's just not me. There are many people here that will see it. And actually, without knowing it, last night, there was a reminder of this in one of the prophetic words. In 2020 was when finally God showed me something. And I didn't understand it. And until 2024. It was 2024 when that thing was fulfilled, letter for letter, word for word. That's finally, for the first time in many years of going up and down and battling things, whether I have, you know, just, it was the most painful experience in my personal life, waiting and going through. But 2024, when President Trump won the election, because that's what I saw. And those of you that were here, I spoke about that vision in 2020, and I have the record of it. And this is what the Lord said. And I won't go into scriptures. I've shared here in the past that God will use pharaohs and presidents and Cyruses and different people as a sign in their generation to fulfill, to give a sign of a Kairos moment. So bottom line is this. If you want more details, you can come to our Sunday night's fellowship or something. The Lord allowed that dream to come to pass to the latter to say, son, you cannot deny. This is no more up and down. This is 100% clear. When you see President Trump become president again, is a Kairos moment. What's a Kairos moment? Is a God's time to begin to weigh the balance of the world. Amen. When you see him become president, You know my time has come to weigh the generation, to start weighing people. God has weighed people all through generations. What does it mean for God to weigh people? Kairos moment. It means God's plan will begin to weigh the systems of the world. And when God's plan begins to weigh the systems of the world, the foundations and the things of the world will begin to shake. The governments will begin to shake. Everything else will begin to shake because the judge is coming to the courtroom and they have to give an answer. What does that mean? It means everything God has spoken are about to start unfolding. And those who take the warning serious, like Joseph, like if they prepare, it's their season of promotion. You've heard me say this over and over, but I am emphasizing this for this reason. Last year, when we talked about a prophetic moment to pray, we went into a 21 days of prayer and praying those who want to fast can fast. After that prayer, that October last year, that's later President Trump became president. And God said, okay, this is the man in the season. And after that, and then confirmed that vision and that clearly, I knew to watch the atmosphere of the nation. I have been watching with a spiritual eyes and physical eyes, watch and pray. And I can tell you, I don't have time to preach, maybe next Sunday, the storm is building. The reality of the end time is accelerating. Alignments of nations accelerating. Everything the Bible talks about is the puzzle is coming slowly together. And God is saying to the wise virgins, your time of promotion has come, but you have to be ready. Amen. We have been preparing for years, not physically, but spiritually. The reason for Mount Zion is now. So, I think if I close my Bible, you know I'm about to finish. Okay. So, in 2020, what happened? COVID, isn't it? How many of you were in your house for 2 weeks? At least 2 weeks. Doctor, did you go to work? You had special license. Because it was an emergency worker. Huh? Most of all, okay, we were praying. We were intercessors. We had heavenly license. Okay. So, but in general, everybody was shut down, isn't it? Who was in power when that happened? You don't remember? It's not a question. Who was in power? Okay. Okay. Trump was in power. That was when I had the dream, the vision. Why did God show that? Because for 10 days we're fasting and praying. I say, God, how can the world be shut down? Shut down. All over. No flight, no nothing, no movement. Stay at home. God shut down every distraction. And people didn't know what to do with their lives. When the distraction was taken away for 2 weeks, people became depressed without God. Up till now, psychologically, people have not recovered. Because of the absence of God when there is no distraction. God gave us 2 weeks to see if we need Him. What do you do when you don't go to work? When you can't do this? Even the dogs were confused. Without God, men were depressed. If God takes away distraction from us today, what will happen to you? You find out. the focus is no more there. So the Lord said to me, that was Trump's first time. And when he gave me the dream, he says, what you saw is a sign. When Trump comes back the second time, because God uses Cyrus, God uses certain kings, gives them favor to rule in a particular time because of what God has ordained to do in that time, regardless of them. Trump's second coming, he said, I will deal with destruction more than what I did in the first time. Go and figure that out. God is going to deal with destruction in a way that we've never seen before. Every sin that we have made an idol that has kept our focus away from God will be touched. Hallelujah! God is about to take away distractions. All our idols are going to be touched. I don't know what your idol is, but God is jealous. And his time has come, and idols are going to be taken away so that our focus will come back. But you have to be ready. If you are not ready, when God takes away this distraction, he will run to the wrong direction.
Say that again.
When God takes away this distraction, if we are not ready, those that are ready, their focus will be on Jesus. Like Joseph, they will be promoted.
Yes.
But those that are not ready, like the foolish virgins, you will run in a different direction. So you have to prepare now. How do you prepare? How many of you know how to prepare for a wedding? Huh? You prepare for a wedding before you get married. Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you how to prepare. Yeah? Let me ask you. When COVID... This is family. God is family. God is real. When God shut everybody down and took distractions away for 2 weeks, what did you do? How did you enjoy it? The only way to prepare when God takes away distraction is get used to God now.
Amen.
Enter the ark now. If you don't build the ark, you will not enter into it when the distractions is taken away. Enter. Get familiar with Jesus now. Build relationship with him now. Don't wait. Finally, when we prayed last year, Trump became president November. This is prelude. We are about to enter into another 21 days, beginning from this September 23. And it's because it's an assignment for this house to pray for the nation, pray for the church. And God allows us to see. So we're about to go into another 21 days. You know, there are people that pray 6 a.m., there are people that meet here at 12 noon, and we all meet here at 7 p.m. to pray for America, pray for a move of God. This prayer we're about to pray, because it's God's Kairos moment, my brothers and sisters, the next phase of the shift, if you have eyes to see, is going to kick in. You don't have a clue what is about to unfold. And God knows. And God has a plan. But one thing I can assure you, spiritually and reality clear, if the world was shut down for 2 weeks at the first coming, God is ordained that in Trump's time, the world will shake like never before to get people's attention back to him.
Amen.
Prepare for that. Enter the ark and you'll be promoted. Amen.
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 That's all I want to share with you this morning. Practical but spiritual. I want you to go home and, like he said, think again. Do I come to church every day? What changes? What impacts? What character? What closer? Am I just a religious person? How do I deal with trials? So when you leave today, review what you're hearing and what you're doing with it. When you're going through trials, ask yourself, what have I learned? What is in me that God wants to use to address this situation victoriously? Amen?
Amen.
And then God give us the grace to be part of praying in these 21 days to prepare the nation for change, the next level of change. And God is going to be glorified. Your promotion is here. Amen?
Amen?
So two announcements. One, before we pray, 21 days, pray about it. And God will use you. And then two, for some reason, we're going to start a class. This might probably be the last one before we re-envision it, on Wednesday, for preparing us in some capacity. And that will be done with Pastor Wola and then Pastor Kizaya between at 7 p.m. You'll hear the announcement. The final one, I just don't know why, but for some reason I just feel there's something about it. But God knows. Sister Josephine is turning 70. And everybody in Mount Zion is invited.
Amen.
But personal invitation. Amen? You'll hear more about it next Sunday. Amen? And she will announce more. So let's pray. Father, you said, he that has ears, let him hear. Even last night, we are reminded over and over and over and over because of your mercy. Father, prepare this house to live with purpose. Because promotion is your portion for us. We see the changes. Open our eyes to understand the times. Give us focus on you. Help us to identify distractions. No matter how good they smell and look, may our allegiance, obedience to your word be first. Father, thank you for your word. Holy Spirit, thank you. May we leave this place knowing you have spoken to us. Help us to know what to do with it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. You all know what communion is? Josiah, Joshua, you know what communion is? Communion is a young man like you, at this age, saying, Jesus, I am in covenant with you. covenant. And every time you take communion, you remember your covenants. You remember who, your identity. And you remember who you're in covenant with. Every time you take communion, you know that the blood washes away our sin. God has made promises to us that he will never fail. He's our provision. He's our protector. He's our healer. We are in covenant, Marian, with him.
Amen.
Amen? If your husband loves you and cares for you, Jesus does more. He has a bigger and a greater covenant. And he's there 24/7 to keep that covenant. So if you have covenant with him, Kezia will join me. Let's pray. I want you to pray like you have a covenant with him. And to remind him, I have a covenant with you. You know my needs. You know where I am. You are the head of my life. You know this situation. Whatever you need, talk to him like a covenant bridegroom, a covenant person that is there with you right now. Pour out your heart to him. It's a faithful covenant keeper. Amen. Okay, go ahead.
Father, we thank you for what you have done in meeting us at point A and drawing us into a covenant with you and taking us, you are leading us to point B. Yes. Today, Father, we say we rely on you, we depend on you. Yes. We ask that you wash us and cleanse us again. Let this blood wash us. As we partake of this covenant, of these elements, Father, let the blood of Jesus, let the body of Christ be real to us. Yes. Draw us to yourself. Yes. And everything that is in that covenant, Lord, we claim it and we hold on to it. Yes. We say we shall make it to the end because we are in you. We remember what you did for us and we just want to say thank you.
Yes.
Thank you, Father. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for taking us along with you. And thank you for bringing us to the finish end point. We receive success, oh God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You can take. Thank you. Thank you, Father.